I can do what it says I can do. And I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the incorruptible, indestructible seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, 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 never. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Please remain standing. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Hallelujah. God been good to you this week?
Amen.
Yes, He has. Hebrews chapter 10. I want to read one verse of Scripture. And this morning I want to talk to you about unshakable confidence. Unshakable confidence. Hebrews 10 verse 35. It says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." God bless the reading of His Word. Take someone's hand next to you, and let's pray together as family of God. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time to be in Your house, for this church where we can come and gather and worship Your holy name. Holy Spirit, You're welcome in this place. We ask You to just take over and do what You want to do. We bind every spirit contrary to the Holy Spirit, Lord. And right now, we ask that You would just do a great and mighty work in each one of us here. We pray, God, for revival. We pray, God, for salvation. We pray, God, for strength and encouragement. We pray for signs and wonders and miracles in this place, Lord, and for You to have Your own way. Lord, I ask You to anoint me as Your servant, give me unction to preach, and open the hearts and minds of each one to receive it. We give You all the glory now, Lord. And again, give me a ready train of thought and use me for Your glory. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I posted a picture on Facebook the other day that I hope would grab people's attention. In the picture, it had two items. One, a crown. And secondly, a spike, a nail. And it had inscribed on the picture these words. It said, "If we truly understood who we are in Jesus, and what He has done for us, Christians would be the most confident people on earth." Isn't that true? If we fully understood what Jesus has done for us, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. God's people would be the most confident people on the face of the earth. Amen? Too often, we forget who we are in Jesus. Too often, we forget what He's done for us. And we shrink back. We let the devil trample on us and walk on us and make us a rug that he wipes his feet on. I'm going to tell you, we don't have to do that, folks. Because Jesus has paid the price. There's some scriptures that come to mind that I thought about. The first, Glenda, if you would put up there, is in Matthew. Let me turn there. I've got to give you the verse. Hallelujah. Well, I won't turn there, but anyhow, at the end of Matthew, because I'm about to drop all my notes. At the end of Matthew, where Jesus is hanging on the cross, He's hanging there. He's been there. It's about the sixth hour. He's been there on the cross. And He says these famous words, "Eli sabachthani," which is, my God, thou, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then right after that, He says, "It is finished." Hallelujah. It is finished. And the Bible says, then He gave up the ghost, or He died. He dropped His head, died. His spirit went back to God. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of churches today, if you're not careful, you'll find that they're preaching everything but the cross of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that the cross of Jesus Christ is central to everything that we do.
It's central to this church. It's central to this pastor. It's central to you. It's central to our worship. And I want you to know, without the cross of Jesus Christ, we don't have a religion. Without the cross of Jesus Christ, we don't have any victory. Amen? The cross is so important. Paul put it this way in Galatians 6:14. He said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. It's about the cross. It's about the blood. It's about what Jesus did for you and me. And I'm going to tell you something. When He went to that cross, He broke the neck of Satan. He broke his neck, gave him a mortal head wound that he's not recovered from nor ever shall. And one day He's coming back and He's going to give him the coup de grace with the sword of His tongue speaking as the Word of God. And He's going to cut His head off. He's going to cast him into the lake of fire, and there'll be no more devil to trouble us ever again. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's the work that He did on the cross that He redeemed us back. You see, in the garden, man lost all of his rights. We lost all of our power. We lost all of our rights. We lost all of our standing because we were put on the earth to take dominion over the earth and to rule over it. But when man sinned in the garden, he submitted himself to Satan. And we lost every bit of our standing legally. We lost our rights. But it was on the cross. Hallelujah. It was on that cross where Jesus bought it back, where He redeemed us. That word redeem means to pay back, to purchase, to buy back. Hallelujah. It means to pay a ransom, if you will. And He paid the ransom. Not to the devil, no. He didn't pay the devil one dime. He didn't pay the devil one drop of blood. The ransom was paid to God Himself. It was to satisfy the justice of Almighty God. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us that when He hung there and said, "It is finished," that's when our sins were redeemed and paid for. Hallelujah. I don't think we understand that enough, folks, as Christians. If we understood that, I'm going to tell you something. You wouldn't have to beg a Christian to tithe. You wouldn't have to beg a believer in Christ to share their testimony or to go to church or to sing a song of praise to God. You wouldn't ever have to beg somebody to forgive and let go of a grudge, because they would say, "Look what all God has done for me." If we fully understood what Jesus did for us at the cross, we'd be the most confident people on earth. I'm going to tell you, I don't know why we as God's people think we got to sit at the back of the bus and back up for anybody else. Let me tell you something. Sometimes the enemy will attack us, and we see a lot of this in this liberal theology today that says there's more than one way to heaven, or says that, you know, the gay lifestyle is okay and God doesn't care and it doesn't matter, or that you just shack up and it doesn't matter, or you can lie, or you can steal, it doesn't matter, or you can use God's name in vain, it doesn't matter, or you can smoke dope, it doesn't matter, you can be at the country club drunk as Cooter Brown on Saturday night and shout in church on Sunday morning, it doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you, it does matter. It does matter. Because there is a book here called the Word of God. And my friends, I'm going to tell you what, we get free. We get forgiveness for all of our sins, no matter what they are. All of those and many more. And God loves to forgive us. But never think for one moment that it does not matter how we live. If we understood what Jesus went through at the cross to pay for my sins, I couldn't live the same way. I couldn't talk the same way. I couldn't act the same way. I would have to understand, like the hymn writer said, "All to Jesus I to surrender. All to Him I truly owe." Hallelujah. We owe to Him a debt we can never repay. Amen. And we need to learn to quit backing down. I had somebody that got me so mad, they got my blood pressure all up. Some woman from back home, I put a picture of Melania Trump leading people in prayer yesterday at Donald Trump's rally. And she said, "You and your church are nothing but a bunch of racists." Lord God, that made me mad. I took it for a minute. And then the steam come out my ears, and I told her, I said, "Let me tell you something." And I called her name. I've known you all my life. She's from back home. She thinks she's better than everybody else. I said, you are nothing but a liberal idiot. And I said, I will not allow you to talk about my wonderful church like this. I said, I do not suffer fools. And I said, you're about to be blocked. And I told her, I said, your daddy'd be ashamed of you. I knew her daddy ran the Rexall drugstore in Statesboro, right up around the corner from our hardware business, fertilizer business. And she wrote back and said, well, she said, I graduated cum laude at the University of Georgia. And I didn't respond, but I wanted to say, what an indictment against the University of Georgia that somebody like you could graduate cum laude. You are proof that somebody can have a lot of book sense and have no common sense, because you have neither, I don't believe. But anyhow, it really ticked me off. And I blocked her. But some friends of mine back home said, you ought to see the ugly picture she put of you in the church, about your church. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about this church. This church here loves everybody. It don't matter red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in inside to us. Amen. And thank God I had one or two from our church say that we have all colors at our church. And she said, well, how many? And they responded, I don't know. She said, are they tithers? What an idiot. And she came back to me and said, me and my husband paid for a Habitat for Humanity house to be built in Statesboro, Georgia. That shows you right there she's not who she says she is. Because if you do something with God, you don't want to get no credit for it. Amen? Amen? But I let her know. I said, listen, I said we've started orphanages in Africa and Haiti. We support them. I said, I've gone to Mozambique, and I said my life was on the line for the gospel of grace to people that were not at all the same color as me. And you think that I'm a racist? What an idiot. As my daddy would say, that's ignorance gone to seed. But you know what? We need to be more confident, folks. We shouldn't back down from somebody like that. You don't just let that pass without, at least I don't, maybe you do. I'm not one of those kind of Christians that just lets everything pass. I'm sorry. I know some things have come to pass, and you need to be quiet sometimes. But there's sometimes the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time to be silent, but there's also a time to speak. And sometimes I think we don't speak because we don't realize who we are. Let me tell you something. You're a child of God. You don't take the back seat to nobody. You hear me? You hear me? You go, bless God, you go to Oakey Grove, by God, a Baptist church filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't back up for nobody. You hear me? You are washed in the blood. This is the givenest, kindest church I've ever had anything to do with. And you're not anybody's footstool. You're not anybody's floor mat. You are the head and not the tail, God's Word says. And you are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There's royal blood flowing through your veins. Hallelujah. And your daddy is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Hallelujah. Like I said here a few weeks ago, next time somebody tries to bury you, don't worry about it. They just forgot that you're a seed. Hallelujah. You bury a seed and it'll grow. Glory to God. So we need to have confidence in who God is and confidence in what He's done. You know, I thought about another scripture, and it's Philippians 1 verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will continue it or perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? First of all, Philippians 1:6, you see it up there? Being confident of this very thing. Say this with me out loud, church. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let me start at the end. The day of Jesus Christ. That means when Jesus comes back, right? Is that what that means? Sure. And at the beginning, He says, I'm confident of something. That God has started a work. a work in us. And it says He will continue that work. The little kid song. He's still working on me. You remember that song? To make me what I ought to be. You know that song? That's so true. And He's doing that. First of all, what that means is God, from the time you're born again, never quits working in your life. Isn't that good to know? How many here would be bold enough to raise your hand with the pastor? And I put myself first and chief in this classification. How many would raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm a sinner and I've made mistakes? How many would say that? All of us? That's good. I'm glad you raised your hand. That means God can do something with you. How many say, Pastor, I still make mistakes even though I'm saved? Okay. Me. All the time. I made a mistake getting caught up with that Sister Bertha better than you from back home, you know, this morning. I just took that old bait the devil threw out there, let it get me all irritated, get my blood pressure up to about 175 on the top. I mean, you know, just, I shouldn't have allowed it. But I couldn't stand. When she said something about my church, that's, you know, and the devil, he don't fight fair. He'll say something about your church or your children or your wife or something just to get you pulled in. I mean, you know. But look here. Once you're saved, God keeps working on you your whole life. He doesn't ever give up. Even when you mess up, He doesn't quit. Even when you fall short, He still keeps working in your life. Isn't that good to know? How many of you have kids here today? Let me see your hands. Have kids. How many of you, if your child is bad or if your child does something wrong, how many of you would raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'll quit loving them. I'll never love them again once they fall short. I hope none of you. Never. And that's the way God is towards us. He'll never quit loving us. Even when we fall short. And you know what the truth is? People like that woman, she doesn't see where she falls short, but she does. She falls short. And you know, the good news is, if we admit that we fall short, God can do something with us, Brother Joshua. He can do something with people that are humble. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. I need a lot of grace, don't you, Curtis? I need all I can get. Grace means God's favor. It means His unmerited favor and His forgiveness. I need all that I can get, Brother Larry. So being confident of this very thing that He, notice the emphasis isn't on we or me, it's on He. He which hath begun a good work in you will continue or perform it till the day Jesus returns. Hallelujah. So you know what? That's something to be confident about. We ought to have an unshakable confidence knowing there's nothing that I do. Even if I screw up the worst anybody's ever messed up, God will never quit loving me and throw me away. My God, that ought to give you confidence. I read the story one time about this little boy. And I've told this before, but we have new ones here, so I'll tell it again. This little boy was out playing catch with his baseball. And he threw the ball and it went through a neighbor's window in their garage. And it happened to belong to a neighbor that lived there that was a very mean man. And he came out of there with a big wrench in his hand. He said, boy, I'm going to bust your head open for busting my window. And he went to chasing the little boy. The little boy ran to his house. And he was backing up, knew the guy was fixing to hit him in the head, backing up the steps. And he's going up the steps. All of a sudden, he bumped into somebody. And it was his mama standing there with her shotgun. She said, I want to tell you something. Said, you touch one hair on that boy's head and I'll blow your head right off your shoulders. All of a sudden, that little boy that was so scared, he started getting confident. He started feeling like he didn't have anything to worry about. He said, that's right. You mess with her boy and she'll blow your head off your shoulders. And shook his finger at him. That's the way we ought to feel, folks. Because God is for us. He loves you with a love. Even when you've done wrong, you're still His child and He still loves you. Does it mean He says, that's all right, I don't mind if you do wrong? No, He'll punish us. He'll take us to the woodshed. He may take some things from us. He may really bear down on us. But it's all because He loves us. Amen. We ought to be confident, people. There's something else I thought about. Another scripture.
There's a scripture in Little John. There's a big John and a little John in the Bible. There's the big John, that's the Gospel of John. But then you have the little epistles of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And 1 John 5:14, put that up there, Glenda, please. 1 John 5:14. Look at this scripture. You got it? You can get there quicker than I can. And this is the confidence. Y'all see that word confidence? We're talking about unshakable confidence. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask what? Some things? That's what? Are you kidding me? Anything? I mean, that's what the Word says. Somebody just said that true? If we ask anything, you mean be healed of cancer? A brain tumor? I'm totally bankrupt. My child's lost as a goose in a hailstorm. You mean I can pray and ask anything? You see, there's nothing too hard for God. And like I heard somebody say, anything according to His will. You can't say, Lord, I want You to kill that woman that's been aggravating me. No, you can't say that, okay? He ain't going to do that, okay? Let's have some sense about us. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Hallelujah. You know what? That gives me a lot of confidence. Have you ever worked with somebody that's hard to get along with? Maybe you're married to somebody that's hard to get along with. Wait a minute now, let's put them hands down. I'm going to be counseling all week long. Have you ever had to deal with crazy people? Oh my gosh. Ignorant people. Granddad say ignorant. They ignorant. Ignorant. Let me tell you something. We've got a secret weapon that they don't know anything about. What is the secret weapon?
God.
Yeah, but it's prayer, right? We can pray and ask God to intervene. You know, I remember hearing this story about this woman. Her husband was a terrible drunk. And I mean, he would just get drunk and come in and just was so disruptive to the family. And she had asked him to please quit drinking. He wouldn't quit drinking. She'd done everything she knew to do. And the pastor said to her one day, said, have you prayed and have you put works to your prayer by taking a prayer cloth and praying over it? And the Bible talks about prayer cloths in the book of Acts. And she said, no, I haven't, pastor. She said, I've been Baptist all my life. I don't know anything. But he said, well, in the book of Acts, said they brought cloths and handkerchiefs to Paul and he prayed over it. They took it to the sick, the people that had demons, and they were set free. So they prayed over a prayer cloth and they asked for God to deliver her husband. They took the prayer cloth and they put it in her bed, put it in his bed up under the sheets. And she said that night when he laid down, he come in drunk as Cooter Brown again and said he flipped and he flopped and he couldn't be still. He said, my God, these sheets are burning me. So I feel like I'm on fire. And it was where they had prayed over that cloth. And God's convicting spirit, the Holy Spirit, was upon that man. And he couldn't live like that anymore. Let me tell you something. There wasn't too long after that, too many nights of him trying to sleep in that bed, feeling like he was burning. He was feeling the fires of hell on him, brothers and sisters, that he repented. And he turned to God. And I'm going to tell you something. The reason you need to be confident, folks, is because there is a hell. And there is a heaven. And one day we go into one of those two places. And it all has to do with what we do with Jesus Christ. If we receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, let me tell you something, you go into heaven. If you don't, then you go into hell.
And let me tell you, it's not just enough to say, I believe. The devil believes and trembles. But if you're truly saved, you'll be a new creature. You'll change. You'll repent of your sins. Will you make mistakes? Yes, you'll make mistakes. But you'll get up, and it will not be the way your life is ruled and the way you live all the time. You will change. You'll do it a day at a time. You'll walk with God. And you'll hate the things that you love, and you'll love the things that you used to hate. Because you become a new creature. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. If you and I can't be confident in Jesus Christ, whether it's in our salvation, whether it's in being able to help us fulfill the plan that He has for our lives and help us keep growing, or whether if we don't have confidence in Him to be able to answer our prayers, then we're messed up. Because I'm going to tell you, God has all the confidence in the world in His Son. The Father has all the confidence in the world, in His Son, in the universe and beyond, in His Son. He sent His Son. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And He did that because He was confident that His Son would come to this earth and would succeed on His mission and buy back the children that had been lost in the garden. I'm going to tell you something, my friends. I'm thankful to know that I've got a God that's able. I'm thankful to know that we've got a God that loves us. Amen. I'm thankful to tell you today we got a God that is always on our side. And it doesn't matter what the enemy throws our way. It doesn't matter how old Slewfoot raises his head against us. I'm going to tell you, we got a God that's bigger than the devil. We got a God that's in charge. We got a God on the throne. We got a God that's for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us, the Bible says. Amen. We are more than conquerors, the Bible says in Romans 8:37 and Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Let me tell you something, folks. You and I stand up straight. Get your back straight. Bow your back, your chest up, out just a little bit. Get your head up. Lift up your head. Lift up the feeble knees. Raise holy hands to the Lord and march in victory, because God has made you to be the victor and not the victim. Amen. We got confidence in our God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Glory to God. We are not victims. We are victors through Jesus Christ. If we only knew who we are in Jesus Christ and what He had done for us on that cross, let me tell you something. We'll be the most confident people in the world. We're approaching the Easter season. And during the Easter season, I'm going to preach a message about just exactly what Jesus did on that cross. I'm going to get real specific. I'm going to preach a series of messages that I preached before. It's been a couple of years ago since I preached this. But do you know that Jesus shed blood from seven places? And I call it the seven places the blood fell. And each week we'll take one or two of those different places where blood flowed from His body. Each one was to redeem. Each one of those places He shed blood was for a specific reason. Each one of those places where blood came from His body was to break the curse, to break the yoke, to break the neck of Satan where he could not have control of your life. And I'm going to preach that coming up soon. You be praying that God will bless you. But have confidence, folks. It doesn't matter how dark it looks. Have confidence. You may have your back to the Red Sea this morning, and all the army of Egypt is coming down the hill after you. You just hang on, baby. God's going to open that Red Sea for you. And you're going to walk across, and you're not even going to get mud between your toes. He's got it all in His hands, and He's powerful, and He loves you. We appreciate you being here today. We're going to open the altars right now. If there's somebody that wants to come down for prayer, we would love for you to come. Let us pray with you today. It doesn't matter what it is. The Bible asks the question in Jeremiah. It says, is there anything too hard for God? No, there's not.
Doesn't matter what you're facing today. There's nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard. Nothing too hard. So you come if you need prayer for anything. Brother Kirk, come on down. Brother Josh. We'll be glad to pray with you. If there be somebody here today you'd like to give your life to Jesus Christ, we'd like for you to come down and let us pray with you. Come on, guys. Help us. Let's just start praying.
I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, show me.